what's really in the water flowing into your home? Microbiologists are trying to get a better handle on that, and Peter Andre Smith writes about their efforts in this week's Science Times. I'm Mike Mason, Deputy Science Editor, and Peter joins me today. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Mike.
So just give it to me straight. Should we be worried about what's coming out of the tap? I thought we had the safest water in the world.
I think we do. We're a hygienic superpower. We've really taken care of all the dangerous organisms, and we've done a really good job. And the scientists I spoke with said, you know, our nation has done the right thing, but now we're sort of facing the unintended consequences of doing the right thing.
So your point in the story is that pure water is not really pure in the sense that we all would like to believe, that most of the harmful pathogens have been eliminated, but there's still plenty floating around in there.
That's perfectly true. It's not sterile water. I mean, there's stuff still living in there, and most of it's harmless, and most of it doesn't make the water taste weird, so they sort of just go unnoticed.
Yeah. So you accompanied some scientists who were doing what, for want of a better phrase, I'll call guerrilla water sampling. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, they loaded up a 15-passenger van, and they were driving around the Ohio River Valley, and they would go into strip malls and gas stations, and they would take this little black case and roll it in through the front door, go up to the faucet and turn on the cold water.
But what? Why do it this way? I mean, I thought, you know, our water supplies were being monitored constantly anyway.
The water supplies are being monitored constantly, but they're at the point of treatment, or the point of the source water. So it's at the treatment facility, and water descends through these things called pipes, and people use them at sinks and gas stations and at strip malls and in their homes. So they want to get it at the place that people are using it rather than sort of where it's being treated.
So the idea is that some of these microbes that maybe we should be more worried about live in pipes. The water becomes contaminated after it leaves the treatment plant and before it gets to the tap in my bathroom. Is that
exactly right? There are these films that sort of collect on the pipes, and some of the narrow diameter pipes collect the microbes better, or the copper pipes, sometimes the films live there.
Yeah. So what do we know about that sort of environment? Like what's living there that, you know, we had no idea was there before?
I mean, it's a really sparse environment. So there's not a lot of nutrients and there's not a lot of competition. So they like these cool, dark, chlorinated environments. And there are bacteria and amoeba and cysts.
Are these pathogenic to any degree?
A few of the organisms are.
That worries me already. So the guerrilla testers, I mean, they go in. I take it they don't want to alert the local authorities that they're sampling the water.
Yeah, I think it was more a process of, like, they're doing a lot of sampling, and it's sort of, they were frankly running around. So they were trying to do things as fast as possible. So if they got the water authorities involved, it would sort of delay the sampling. So they figured, you know, let's just not get the authorities involved.
This is in the service of a larger goal, which you talk about in the story a little bit, which is that we could be doing more. We have reached a certain level in terms of water purification, but we need to be doing a lot more. Is that the consensus now?
Yeah, we've done a good job. We've selectively inactivated most of the pathogens that are in the water system, but there are some that continue to elude us, and the infrastructure needs improvement. So let's make these improvements in a scientific manner.
What are some of the things that they want to do to the water now that they haven't been doing in the past?
So one of the things that the EPA actually has mandated is that surface water systems inactivate Cryptosporidium, which is one of the more common organisms that causes outbreaks. So they already, I mean, like New York City, for example, has a UV treatment facility that they're like putting online as we speak to inactivate Cryptosporidium. So they chlorinate and then they also do this UV disinfectant.
Interesting. You were telling me that in Europe they have taken it a step further, that they use sand. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think water authorities here do that as well. But I mean, I guess one of the scientists I talked to said that when Europeans come over here, they taste that water and they think it all tastes like swimming pool because it tastes very chlorinated to them. So they have these other sand filtration systems, and they can actually put microorganisms on the sand. And so when the water filters through them, it sort of collects some of them and sort of reduces the chances that pathogens will colonize the pipes. Or
because these are competing microorganisms.
Right, so it's essentially introducing competition, sort of like you might eat yogurt to create a probiotic system in your stomach. They're sort of doing the same thing with water.
Yeah, well, that's fascinating stuff. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Mike.
And that's the Science Times podcast for Tuesday, August 27th. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. With Mike Mason, I'm David Corcoran of the New York Times.